Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
It's a cool, quiet Sunday afternoon, and the spacious gym at Newton South High School, southwest of Boston, is full of athletes. Small athletes, for the most part. Female athletes, exclusively. All of them running and jumping and tumbling in colorful leotards as they await their turns to shine. Many of these rhythmic gymnasts who are here to compete for the Boston Cup have not yet reached their teens, and some of them have come a long way to dance across a mat while tossing a ball into the air or twirling a ribbon around their backs. Helena Stiles, who hails from Manchester in the UK, spoke to me about why she competes as a rhythmic gymnast.
Well, I like to do dance, and then it seemed that you need to do a lot of performing. And I like to show off my talent.
And has it turned out to be as much fun as you thought it would be when you began?
Even better.
Even better. Helena is 10. Old enough, it turns out, to have taken responsibility for choosing the bright yellow outfit she's wearing.
Yeah. I thought it standed out, so I like to stand out from the crowd.
The United Kingdom has been sending competitors to the Boston Cup for 3 years. This spring's competition also welcomed athletes from Bulgaria, Russia, Puerto Rico, Canada, and Ecuador, which is not to say there are no standouts from the U.S. Consider, for example, the 6-year-old who identified herself only as Cyan from Manhattan. She came to Massachusetts with her coach, Cheryl Cox, who was impressed by Cyan's extraordinary flexibility as a 4-year-old when her mother first brought her to the gym.
Most kids her age, I put in little recreational classes. I took her straight to team because she was super talented and she's very good.
And at the age of 5 or 6, what does super talented mean?
Well, she's very clean. She can do a lot of skills that usually only older girls are able to do, like maybe 7-year-olds or 8-year-olds, but she was doing them at like 4 and a half.
Is this embarrassing you to hear how good you are?
Yes.
Besides being super talented, Cyan, like virtually all the athletes at the Boston Cup competition, is exceptionally limber. As in, these girls and young women can stand on the toes of one foot and form a perpendicular line by pointing the toes of the other foot straight up. The disciplines in rhythmic gymnastics require the athletes to work with hoops, clubs, ribbons, or balls. In the latter event, the competitors toss a bright ball into the air, twirl beneath it, catch it behind their heads, and bend to let it roll down their backs, never losing track of the music to which they are dancing. The most adroit of these competitors can drop to their backs while the ball is in the air, catch it between their ankles, turn a somersault, and make the trick look easy. Even more challenging, according to Susie DiTullio, one of the Boston Cup judges, is the ribbon.
The ribbon is the most popular and the most difficult because you're talking 12 to 15 feet of satin ribbon that you must keep in motion at all times.
Yeah, one of these kids, I felt really bad. She was out there doing fine, and then the ribbon got tangled up.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, instead of being 15 feet long, it was about 5 feet long.
It
was in a
knot. And then it undid itself.
Yeah, but I felt like, does she get penalized for that?
She gets penalized for the knot itself and the amount of time it takes for her to recover.
And the words she says under her breath while she's trying to take out the knot.
Darn. How did that happen?
The skills and grace are hard-earned. Successful rhythmic gymnast must be willing to work as diligently as any elite athlete. According to Smiranda Moyescu, who created the Rhythmic Dreams program in Newton 7 years ago, girls as young as 10 or 11 in Russia train 5 hours a day, 6 days a week. Though each of the competitors is alone out on the mat during the time she is performing, the traveling teams support each member of their group. Smiranda Moyescu feels that that, too, is part of the discipline of the sport.
It's amazing to watch because I don't know if you notice the Russian girls, for instance. Every toss their teammate had on the carpet, they cheer and they scream and they kind of bring their energy together so this girl makes the catch at the end. It's amazing to see the amount of support these girls provide to each other. But also, you know, these kids start by not necessarily being the most confident kids out there. You know, they're little shy little girls, and what I think the biggest benefit from this sport is that they gain the self-confidence to be out there all alone on the carpet, to wait for their music to start in a contorted routine, you know, in the position that, you know, hold it for several seconds, and then when the music starts, perform with, make it look easy.
All this talk about the super-talented 4.5-year-olds and 11-year-olds traveling from Moscow to Newton, Massachusetts, should not be construed as evidence that rhythmic gymnastics is exclusively for children. Although children are much in evidence at the Boston Cup competition, Judge Susie DiTullio contends that rhythmic gymnasts can get better as they get older.
Unlike artistic gymnastics, some of the athletes here are in their 20s. So the more mature the athlete becomes, the more elegant, the more involved they feel with their music, the more connected. So with maturity, they gain a lot in their performance. So we look for girls at a young age so that we can train them. But when they mature, you see the beauty of the sport.
When they weren't training and performing, the athletes were enjoying themselves off the carpet. The girls splashed their way through an international pool party, attended a performance of the Boston Ballet together, and toured the city. These activities, as well as the fact that the Boston Cup competition itself has been growing steadily, have encouraged Moyescu regarding future events.
Yeah, it's really amazing, actually. You know, it kind of surpassed any expectations that we had. I think to this date, we probably reached more than 20 countries around the world that, you know, we brought athletes here. This year, we have 7 countries present. We don't need to advertise anymore the event. It's became renowned all over the world. We have requests from all 5 continents. People come to Boston. They love the Boston area, they love our hospitality, they love the event, and, you know, these are just kids that love to perform.
The overall winner in the senior division of the 2009 Boston Cup was Rebecca Wallenstein of Florida, who also achieved that distinction in last year's competition. The winner in the junior division was Anna Kuznetsova of Moscow, but according to Boston Cup co-director Ionella Maggiri, the event left numerous people among the organizers and the competitors feeling like winners, thus ensuring the continuation of the Boston Cup in the spring of 2010. My story about the Boston Cup competition will be featured on this week's program. We'll also update the ongoing NBA postseason, and we'll have a story about the Carolina Hurricanes as they try to stay on course in the NHL playoffs. I'll be talking with Caroline Seabaum about her new book, Little Pancho, which chronicles the colorful life and tennis achievements of Pancho Segura, and we'll have a story about the Clericus Cup, a soccer competition pitting teams of priests and seminarians against each other on the grounds of the Vatican. Some wholly admirable penalty kicks in those games, I'll bet. Actually, there's probably no wagering, only bingo. Anyway, join us, and remember you can always listen to the program at onlyagame.org.